portent of many great things to come from that composer, Samuel Barber. It's first an orchestral composition, The School for Scandal Overture. We heard in that recording Andrew Schenck and the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra. From Michigan State University, this is 90.5 WKAR FM, East Lansing, NPR, and Classical Music, where today's programming is made possible in part by a contribution from Vicky, in loving memory of her mother, Evelyn Van Atta Odell, on her birthday. And we will continue on with music, from that youthful piece by Barber, The School for Scandal Overture, to this piece written for children as well, a children's play that was called The Inventor and the Comedians. Well, the traveling buffoons, they certainly are the comedians. The inventor in question that Dmitri Kabalevsky is referencing in the play, Johannes Gutenberg, he of the printing press for the Bible fame. Here's that suite from Kabalevsky's The Comedians. Ephraim Kurtz leads the Philharmonia Orchestra on listener-supported WKAR.
Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. You're locked in. And I want to, first off, let you know why we're a little late. I got to call out my engineers. Connor gave me a heads up. Connor Mathis, you're off the hook. But Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio, apparently, they didn't communicate. And basically, they did not let one another know who has today's shift. So, a big shout out to my man behind the glass, Kevin Lavery. Also, a even bigger shout out to Catherine White. Because they're the only two who helped a brother out today, and we got on the air. This is incredibly embarrassing. I am chewing both of them out. Hopefully, they are listening right now. They will hear from me later on today. But I'm just glad we're on the air. Thank you so much, Kevin. Really, really, really appreciate that. And I'm getting, I'm sorry, Tex. I'm sorry, Al. I could have swore I said something. No, you didn't. Alec, you didn't say anything. I am calling them out on the air right now. So, all right, that's off my chest. I was having a good day up until 1 o'clock hit. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. And the thing that makes it even worse is we have one of the busiest shows I have ever planned this year on deck. We have three guests. Not one, but two. Well, not one, not two, but three guests that will be on the show today. First guest, we'll have him on the air with us shortly. Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. He is scheduled to join me. Talk about a pretty heavy topic. The death of Nipsey Hussle and how that death has not just, sent shockwaves across the nation in popular culture, but particularly the black community and also in the sporting world. All right, so we'll be inviting Johnny to the show in just a moment. Also, Jeremy Sampson, the vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite, will join me on the show to talk about the home opener for Lansing Ignite. You don't want to miss that, folks, as Lansing Ignite will open up the home season tomorrow evening at Cooley Law School Stadium. How cool will that be? Awesome stuff, and I'm really, really curious to see what's going through the mind of Jeremy right now. He's accomplished so much when it comes to bringing professional soccer here to the Lansing area. And I'm pretty sure he'll have a moment tomorrow where he just kind of reflects on how far he's brought pro soccer here in mid-Michigan. You don't want to miss that chat. And also, we are scheduled to have USA Today NFL columnist Jarrett Bell, live in studio. Going to pick Jarrett's brain on what occurred last season in the National Football League. Also, going to talk with Jarrett about, the Detroit Lions. Do the Lions have a shot at making the NFL playoffs next season? Going to be a fun interview. All right? So, again, Kevin Lavery's behind the glass holding down the fort while Jack Kerwin scurries to get over here. That's just so embarrassing. I just still can't get over this. This is ridiculously embarrassing right now. So, he just walked in. Ladies and gents, we do have... Thank you so much, Kevin. Kevin, business to do. I'll come to your office and thank you later. Jack, you guys got some explaining to do. Let's just hash this out right now. All right? I'm all about being transparent with the listeners. We were 4 minutes late being on the air today. What in the heck happened today, dude?
Yep, I'll wear that. That's 100% my bad. I didn't get out of my meeting until late, and I figured Connor would be in today, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
Pretty embarrassing that I'm out of breath here on the air. I'm in pretty bad shape, listeners.
You gotta apologize. This isn't just me here. This is the listenership of Current Sports wondering what in the world is going on. And you're out of breath. Thank you for hustling over here. I'm chewing out Alec as well. Connor's the only one that let me know ahead of time and said, "Al, I can't do Friday. Just letting you know." And did he let you? Did he let you guys know?
No, he did not. But
okay, so Connor deserves to be chewed out as well. Everybody deserves to be chewed out on the show today, except my guest and Catherine, who is here. So yeah, I'm heated. I don't get upset. Al Martin's upset today. I'm a little ticked off today. All right, I'm usually fun and happy, but today I'm a little upset. I'm gonna have to put that aside right now. Jack, if you can get loaded our intro for today, and if we could get Johnny Lewis on the phone, because now this cuts into our interview time. It's again, this is one of the craziest shows I've ever done because I have three guests that are going to be live on the air with me. All right, we're gonna get Johnny Lewis on the phone because I want to talk about the death of Nipsey Hussle. Again, this is a death that, I had no idea how much this was going to have an impact on the African-American community. I had no idea how much this death was going to have an impact on me personally. This is one of those passings that really, even though I've never met Nipsey Hussle in my life, I knew of his music, and I was just starting to become a huge, huge fan of his. The way in which Nipsey passed away And you know, when you look at everything that he was doing in the community out in L.A., that is why I think this death has really affected so many, including myself, because, you know, when you see a positive African-American male who's, quote unquote, made it, reaching back in the community and helping those out who are less fortunate, who again, aren't, you know, may not be, you know, blessed with the talents of a Nipsey, you know, those talents, again, just skyrocketing him to one of the premier names in hip hop. Those individuals back in his community, you know, still trying to figure out their purpose in life. Nipsey willing to help those people out, give them jobs, give them some kind of direction. He was a true leader. And to see someone so impactful get gunned down, get murdered the way Nipsey Hussle was murdered, that is why it has left a bad taste and an incredibly sad feeling on the hearts of so many, including myself. You know, I can't stop thinking about it. You know, when I watched his funeral service yesterday, which was so impactful, so riveting. Jack, just let me know when we have that intro ready. There's so many thoughts to cross my mind. So right now, again, this will take us up until 1:30. Is Johnny ready as well? We do have Johnny Lewis on the phone. We start with, you know, we have Johnny on each and every Friday for a segment that we entitle Fit Fridays with Blessed Body Training founder Johnny Lewis. And Johnny usually gives you a tip that you can use in the gym and out of it, in the kitchen as well, because those two go hand in hand. But today we want to talk about the fitness of our communities today, particularly the African-American community. So if you missed the celebration of Nipsey Hussle's life, here are a few sounds from that incredibly riveting and sad moment at the Staples Center yesterday. Oh, we don't have that yet? We got it? Okay, I tell you, I'm about to jump through this glass right now. We do have it. Here we go.
Peace advocate, Nip. That's what you are. And the reason why I know this is because that's what I am. You know, real recognize real. I know what he is. I know what he was. And the marathon is going to continue. Look at the love. Look at the spirit. This man, I'm going to end it like this. This man got a letter from Barack Obama, man.
Bro stayed, and he died on Crenshaw and Slauson. And everybody who showed love, even the ones who didn't, Nip had nothing but love, nothing but love and respect and humbleness. And that's what I want to leave, man. I love him. And I hope I didn't leave anything out, man.
Amy is the love of my life. You know what it is. Grief is the final act of love. My heart hears you. I feel you everywhere. I'm so grateful that I had you. I love you beyond this earth. And until we meet again, the marathon continues.
Okay, the voices you heard, Snoop Dogg, one of the biggest hip-hop artists of all time, followed by Nipsey's brother, Sam Askedom. And the final voice was the girlfriend of Nipsey Hussle, actress Lauren London. It was quite the scene yesterday. The procession was held, of course, after the celebration of life for Nipsey Hussle, in which Nipsey's body driven in a Cadillac was making the rounds all across L.A. for 5 hours. And you should have seen the outpouring. Don't know if you guys saw the local coverage of that, but it was quite the scene. So right now, I want to invite to the show Blessed Body Training founder, my brother from another mother, Johnny Lewis. Johnny, you were the first to put me on the music of Nipsey Hussle, and I immediately fell in love with the dude after listening to Victory Lap. And I just want to tackle here for the next 15 minutes, man. You know, we usually have you on to talk about fitness of the body, right? You know, going into the gym, working out, you know, treating your body right with the things that you put in your body. But today I want to talk about the health of our community, specifically the Black community. And to relate this to the world of sports as well, I mean, so many sporting figures also were touched by this. I mean, so many paying tribute, like LeBron James, Russell Westbrook dedicating his 2020 game over the LA Lakers to Nipsey, Trae Young, Danny Green as well, a lot of NBA guys. Baron Davis said, quote, he was everything to us. Johnny, again, this is a very heavy topic, but, you know, why do you feel Nipsey's death resonated with so many in the Black community?
Good morning. Nipsey was so inspirational, so motivating. Like, he's gotten me through so many hard times. And just, I'm just going to say, through his interviews, through his lyrics, through his documentaries, through him giving back, through his empowerment, making people that, you know, that's been through so many obstacles believe in themselves and believe that they can start a business or get out of their situation. He was a motivating public figure for the community. He constantly preached on how to find alternate routes, although he acknowledged the struggle. He acknowledged that the struggle was real, but he didn't let it stop him. And he was always 100% real, no matter the consequences.
Yeah, so, yeah,
like,
definitely.
I'm going to say, like, I'm just going to relate this to, like, the Kaepernick situation with the Nike putting that quote, believe in something, even if it meant sacrificing everything. That's a prime example. And the community respected Nipsey for that. And we all respected Nipsey for that.
You know, Johnny, I spoke with ESPN's Jemele Hill, well, formerly now of ESPN. She's with The Atlantic now and launching her own podcast next week. And we'll be playing a portion of, well, multiple portions of Jemele's interview and sit down with me come next week. But I asked her about the Nipsey Hussle passing, and she actually wrote a piece for The Atlantic talking about how there's so many conspiracy theorists that came out and said, well, Nipsey died because of this, right? Dr. Sebi and that documentary and so on and so forth. But she said, if you know, the conspiracy theorists are ignoring the real problem that we do have in the Black community. Before I talk about what that problem is, I just want to ask you, what do you believe is the truth about Nipsey's passing, and what is the message to the African-American community?
I mean, you just nailed it right on it. You said that's making us ignore the problem, but I mean, it is very, very, it's a lot of conspiracy. It's very suspicious, like, especially when you consider, you know, like, he talked about Dr. Sebi in his lyrics. He said they killed Dr. Sebi. He was teaching health on his lyrics. And then, you know, you got to mention a tweet. You have to think of all of that, because it is very suspicious in the way it happened. But that, I think we're focusing on the wrong thing. We have to focus on the legacy he built. And everything will come to light eventually, you know, so I don't know what the truth is. We're all searching for that, but I just want to acknowledge what you just said, how we have to ignore like all of the talk and focus on the bigger picture, what Nipsey stood for and continuing that marathon, continuing his legacy, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when I look at the truth about Nipsey's passing, again, the conspiracy theorists, and for those who don't know who Dr. Sebi is, Dr. Sebi is a doctor who passed away due to quote unquote pneumonia a few years back, but he was said to have found a cure for AIDS and other diseases. The conspiracy surrounded around Dr. Sebi is that the government didn't like this because of the effect that could have on the healthcare system here in America, which of course racks in a lot of money, and they believe that Dr. Sebi was killed. Nipsey Hussle was working on a documentary before he passed that he was shipping to HBO and Netflix to do a documentary on Dr. CB. And many people believe that there's some out there that didn't want that documentary released, so Nipsey was killed. I don't believe that, but that's what the conspiracy theorists believe. For me, the truth about Nipsey's passing, Johnny, is that, look, man, we have a problem in the black community when it comes to jealousy, when it comes to hate. It's a crab in the barrel mentality. You and I have had these conversations multiple times. Now, I do think that there are historical reasons as to why that mentality has permeated, sadly, for many, many years, hundreds of years to be exact. And until we change our mentality of how we view those who are making it in our communities, especially those who are making it and reaching back as they climb, we are always going to be a step behind. And that for me, and I kept racking my brain, why does this death affect me so much? I was just starting to get into Nipsey's music. You know, Nipsey, I never met him before. You know, he wasn't on my Mount Rushmore of hip hop artists. But the reason why is right. Because, you know, we both come from the west side of Detroit. And there aren't too many people who make it, come back to Detroit, start businesses, hire internally, give people who are less fortunate jobs. And Nipsey was doing that. And that is why this hurts so much, because this dude, he cared for people and he loved people. And that is why it's hitting at least me so hard, like a ton of bricks, Johnny.
Oh, no, it felt like we knew Nipsey, you know, felt like we knew him personally. That's how hard it affected us. And just to go back to what you said, the crab in the bucket mentality, that has to stop. It's so much jealousy and hate and so much negative energy that's being, you know, surrounded by just. And I'm just going to say this, because Big Sean, I watched the piece that Big Sean did for, I think it was a performance for Nipsey a couple of days ago, earlier this week. And he kind of like touched on this point too, like instead of putting the negative energy into the world, because we do that far too often, everything comes back to us. Everything is karma. Why don't we start focus on putting the positive energy, because we all feel the energy that Nipsey, that's why so much love, because he put so much love into the world. And that's why we all feel it. That's why we're feeling that way. So everything comes back. That energy that you put into the world will come back. And like you just said, we're growing up from the west side of Detroit, we see it far too often that someone, goes back to their neighborhood and there's always someone trying to bring that person down. So we have to just be competitive yet motivating. Is my perfect word to say it. Don't cheat. Like, I'm just going to relate it back to playing sports. If you're, like, running track, track is my number one sport. If you're running track, you're going to try your best to beat your time, but you're not going to try to trip the person or untie their shoes. You're just going to try to be the best that you can be. And that's what we have to focus on doing.
Definitely. I'm with you, Johnny. You are certainly preaching, man. And I want to ask this to you, because this is the big debate that I've been having with many people. You know, I was having this debate in the barbershop not too long ago. Has this death changed the way in which we view giving back in the black community? Is it, you know, what I mean by that is, you know, for those who make it, can you blame anybody who does make it to some kind of success in the world, you know, born and bred in really, really tough, poor parts of our world here in America? Can you blame anybody who makes it and says, look, man, I don't want to go back to the hood and give back, because I'm afraid that, you know, what I saw happen to Nipsey Hussle may happen to me. Somebody out there who's jealous, I'm making money, I'm successful, I am giving back, but there are a few evil people out there. I'm afraid that I might lose my life just like Nipsey did. Has Nipsey's death changed the way in which you view giving back to the community? And can you blame anybody who says, no, I don't want to go back to the hood, man. I'm good. I'd rather stay alive.
And I agree. Like, you can't blame anybody definitely for wanting to look out for their self. But, I mean, it's deeper than that. And just, like, we have to look at this as a lesson in one way, but also continue what Nipsey believed. Nipsey believed in giving back. He believed in that. He believed if you weren't giving back, then what are you doing? So, there's different ways you can go about it, and unfortunately, it's the thing that killed them. But there's different ways you can go about it. Like, I think you know, you might not necessarily have to be there present, but you can give back in other ways where you can still be not necessarily untouchable, but safer. But mm-hmm. you want to help your community regardless. And but I can understand why, how someone wouldn't want to, you know, go back for those reasons, especially. I'm going to bring this up again. Like Big Sean, he was talking about building a movie theater in her, and Big Sean is one of our biggest celebrity rappers from the city that we were raised in. And I remember he was talking about building a movie theater, and he blew up around the same time as Nipsey. So the thing is, like, you still have to, you know, give back, but go about it in a move differently, give back in a smarter way where you're not putting yourself as much at risk, you know, as much at risk as, you know, Nipsey. It was yeah. it was kind of strange how he was there, you know, like, I don't know. Nobody knows all of the details, but, you know, there could have been maybe a safer route that he could have taken.
Yeah, and, you know, and hindsight is always 20/20, right? You know, the discussion of, exactly. okay, why didn't he have a security guard with him? And to my understanding, you know, it was kind of a sporadic thing for him to go down to the Marathon clothing store that he owns because, you know, one of his homeboys was getting out of jail and he wanted to hook him up with some new gear, do something nice for mm-hmm. him. He didn't let his security detail know that, and unfortunately that was the that was a misstep in the whole situation. But it's just so... It's so sad that we have to look at it that way, Johnny. And mm-hmm. to end this segment, I just want to ask you, man, you know, where do we go from here? Because, you know, I've made that one of my goals for 2019. Looking at the death of Nipsey Hussle, it's inspired me, and I know I need to do more in giving back to the west side of Detroit where I'm from, and I want to do more of that, giving back to schools, giving back to charities, and so on and so forth. I'm making that one of my goals for 2019. But again, you always have that thought in the back of your mind that, okay, if you continue to ascend, there are going to be some people out there who hate what you're doing, and there's going to be some evil there and some jealousy there. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? That's the question I want to ask you to close this out, Johnny.
I'm just going to say the marathon continues. We look at Nipsey's life as a legacy. We look at it as a learning lesson. Everything happens for a reason. So what we need to do is open our eyes and really focus on community, really focus on helping, really focus on giving back, empowering others, believing in yourself first, but also believing in others. We want to start business. We want to use the gems and the philosophies that Nipsey brought to us and use it to better our lives and the ones around us. And, of course, pay respect to Nipsey forever as a legend. But before we get off the air, Al, I just want to take the time to respect a few people because there's hundreds of Nipseys around the area that's not known because, you know, so I just want to pay respect to Nipsey and just honor a few people that motivate me and that are giving back on a daily basis. So I want to shout out to Jay Reed. He's a local rapper from Inkstar. Went to high school with him, played football with him, just moved to Cali. He motivates me every day. Number two, Keon Clinton. You have him on the show. He's your frat brother.
Right.
Keon motivates me. He's doing the same thing as me into fitness. And, you know, like you said, I'm not going to hate on the next man. I'm going to congratulate. And last but not least, to you, Al, like, 100%. Like, I wouldn't be where I am if it wasn't for you. You do your grind, your hustle. You motivated me. You've always been a positive person in my life. And just all of those qualities, all the people I named have the qualities that Nipsey had. And we just have to continue to, us the people that's empowered and that have a voice, we have to continue to motivate our youth to give back in ways we can, still being smart about it, but give back in any way that we can, as we have been doing, and just continue to hustle and motivate.
Hey, man, love you, brother, and right back at you, Johnny. You know how much you inspire me on the daily, dude. The marathon continues, man. We got to pick up the baton now. I really appreciate you taking some time, Johnny, to bring a different segment, Fit Fridays, to us on this Friday, April 12, 2019. Much appreciated, brother.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'll stay blessed, as always.
Always, man. Okay. We'll get back to sports now. Let's hit our first break, and when we come back, we will chat with the vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite FC. Talk about a brother giving back. He has given back a ton to the greater Lansing area. And Lansing Ignite will have their very first home game tomorrow. How exciting is that? Jeremy Sampson will join us when we come back from this first break. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Let's get to our second guest of the hour. His name is Jeremy Sampson. He is the vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite FC. And Ignite, that's right, Lansing Ignite's home opener will take place tomorrow night at Cooley Law School Stadium versus the Richmond Kickers, 7 p.m. start time. Jeremy is now on line one to tell us all about it and more. Jeremy, how you doing, my man?
Hey, good afternoon, Al. Great to talk to you again.
Always good chatting with your brother. And first off, before we dive into the logistics of tomorrow and what this means for you and this club, I kind of want to tackle that, actually. What is this moment like for you? I mean, seeing this all come together, making Cooley Law School Stadium your new home, Jeremy, you got to be incredibly proud right now.
I am, and I've had a couple people ask me that same question here over the last couple of days, Al, and I think right now I'm, as a father of two, you in some ways equate that to being an expectant father with just this huge event that we're about to embark on tomorrow night. There's just so much build up to what we're about to do, and you know, two of my most proud days of my life were of course when my kids were born, and you know, tomorrow when we take the field here at Cooley Law School Stadium, bringing professional soccer to this area will be another very proud moment for me, for sure.
Certainly. I'm sure, Jeremy. Well, I have to ask. I'm not sure. I'll ask this. Is there going to be a moment where you may just kind of get away and just kind of stand by yourself for a moment and say, just kind of look around and just take the moment in, live in the moment a bit and really celebrate this?
You know, it's funny you say that. I actually thought about that last night as I was laying in bed, that I do need to do that.
Yeah.
I do need to just take a moment by myself, find an area in the stadium. I don't know where that's going to be. I don't know when it's going to be, but to definitely just kind of drink it in. And I definitely plan on doing that.
That is awesome. So I have to ask this now, Jeremy, what kind of experience can fans expect at a Lansing Ignite game starting tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's another question that I get asked a ton, and for those who've never been to a professional soccer match, I'll start with what happens on the field. And for each 45-minute half, it is just nonstop action. And for those who have never watched a professional soccer match, either on TV or in person, you're going to see 22 players on the field that hold a very, very high skill level. And the action is going to be back and forth. We play a very attacking style of soccer, Al, where we are trying to create chances and score as many goals as we can, which makes it exciting for people to watch. Outside of that, you know, in the stands, you know, we have our supporters group, the assembly line, that, again, for people who have never been to a match at this level, they just bring a completely different atmosphere with the drums and the chants and the singing. And all the things that they bring, it's just unique. It's unlike anything else, that any other event that you've ever been to. And then we've got, of course, some fun games and things on the concourse. I just think the major difference that we tell people when you think of going to a minor league baseball game, there's so many stoppages and between innings that there's so many other things going on kind of in the stadium. Really for us, when that match is going on, the focus should be about what's going on the field, and we really want to keep it there and intend to do so.
Certainly, and the assembly line. That's so cool. I love that name. That's the club's supporters group. Who came up with the name, and how many fans are we talking about when we discuss the assembly line?
Yeah, Eric Gibbs, who's a Lansing native, lived in Minnesota for a few years and was a supporter of the MLS team there, Minnesota United. But Eric has really kind of taken the reins of this assembly line and gathered the group together. And at last count, I think they were a little north of 50 strong. They've already had a watch party with close to 100 people at the Lansing Brewing Company for one of our away games. Again, there's an article in the Lansing State Journal that about them that was published, I think, recently. You can find it online as well. But what that group brings as far as energy, enthusiasm, again, the drums, the chanting, the singing, the smoke bombs, the flags, it just makes it a complete unique experience and unlike what a lot of people have seen in the past.
Absolutely awesome. And you know, I when I took a peek at the schedule early this morning, Jeremy, what really intrigues me is the special giveaways and promotions that you all will have throughout the season down at Cooley Law School Stadium. Can you touch on a bit of those?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we did want to look at when we looked at how we were going to treat our fans. And you look at minor league baseball and they do have, many special events that go on throughout the season. And we wanted to do that too. So we wanted to bring some just different atmosphere. So, of course, you've got the Capital Cup coming up on Tuesday with Michigan State. We've got a scarf giveaway for the first 1,000 people there. We've got a Pride Night coming up later in the season. We have a Bacon and Bourbon Night, which is I think will be very fun for fans who can sample those two things together. We've got an event the day before Mother's Day to salute soccer moms. We, of course, have fireworks toward the end of the year. So we wanted to give fans a reason to, other than, of course, watching the game, but soccer can be unique in putting some of these promotions together. And Josh Holiday, who's our marketing director, did a great job of compiling one for each and every game. And we're excited that the fans will be able to check those out throughout the year as well.
Awesome. Exciting stuff down at Cooley Law School Stadium. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with the vice president and general manager of Lansing Ignite FC, the great Jeremy Sampson. Jeremy, your team right now in the regular season is 1-1. Thoughts on the team you all have put together?
Yeah, I think if you look at it, Al, after 2 weeks, we're not as good as we were in week number one, and I don't think we're as poor as we showed in week number two. So we are somewhere in the middle right now. I think what makes our group unique, we have so many talented players, but we're a little on the young side. And we've got some players who are still learning how to be professionals and play at this level. And that takes some experience and some maturity. And so at times we're going to go through some growing pains. And we certainly did that last week. We just did not play well, and our discipline wasn't where it needs to be for us to be successful. So when those things happen, they're all coachable moments and ways that our players can improve themselves. And that's exactly the way we look at it. You look at those losses as learning lessons, and we will certainly go through and understand the mistakes that we made. But I like our group a lot, Al. And at the end of the year, we've got 10 teams in this league, and the top four teams all make the playoffs. And we've made no mistake that's where we want to be at the end of the year. We want to be somewhere in the top four in this league and being able to vie for a championship for this city in October. And so we're not changing those goals at all after 2 weeks, that's for sure.
Definitely. And I have to know, Jeremy, when you watch these games as the VP and GM, I'm curious to know, what is your demeanor like? I mean, are you kind of going crazy, visibly going crazy, or are you relatively stoic when watching your club out there?
A little of both. It depends on what's going on in the match. I did not make the trip to either of the first two road games, so I was watching from the comfort of my living room.
Yeah.
Of course, you celebrate those goals just like any fan or any supporter would do. And I was a little pensive, obviously, last week when we were trying to hold on. It was 1-1 at the time over the last 10 minutes, and then we ended up giving up a goal. So I do tend to wear my emotions on my sleeves when I'm watching a match.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie about that. I mean, if look, if you can't get excited about those special moments when your team scores a goal and those kind of things, you know, then why are you doing it? And so I think what I've learned through the years out with my Lansing United teams is you do have to keep, though, somewhat of a level consistency, and that while the highs and the lows are fun, it's, you don't always want to ride those throughout the course of a 28-game season, right? Mm-hmm. So we know it's a long season, but there's no doubt that I celebrate the good moments as any fan would.
That's absolutely awesome. Jeremy, I think we need like a Jeremy cam. How's that sound? Would that fly?
That would be interesting, for sure.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if we could put that on the internet if people would want to watch that.
We'll have to do it with, like, no audio, right?
Exactly.
Oh, boy. All right, Jeremy. For our listeners out there that are watching, they, you know, that want to check you guys out in the home opener at Cooley Law School Stadium tomorrow night, how can they do so? And actually, throughout the season as well, you know, how can fans get their hands on, you know, some tickets throughout the year?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Al. I mean, our website's a great place, LansingIgnite.com. You can go on there and check out all the seats that are available. Tickets are priced in ranges in the seating bowls from $15 to $22. There are some more expensive seats if you wanted to sit in the clubhouse or the Pepsi porch, and some of those come with amenities like all-you-can-eat food and some of those things as well, soft drinks and some of that. So there are some higher-priced tickets if you wanted to sit in some of those areas. So LansingIgnite.com is where you can go to check that out, or you can always come down to the box office here at Cooley Law School Stadium anytime during normal business hours, and they can help you with any ticketing needs that you have.
Absolutely awesome. Thank you so much, Jeremy, and I'm sure you've gotten this many, many times from those here in the Mid-Michigan community, but we are proud of you, brother. The journey continues for you. Keep up the great work, all right?
Al, I always appreciate the support. Great to talk to you a little bit, and I can't wait to see you down at Cooley Law School Stadium this summer watching some soccer.
Looking forward to it, man. Thank you so much, Jeremy Sampson. He's awesome. All right, again, you can catch the home opener for Lansing Ignite tomorrow night, 7 p.m. against the Richmond Kickers. All right, final break. When we come back live in studio, we'll talk to one of the most knowledgeable men in the world of the NFL, Jarrett Bell, MSU alum, USA Today NFL columnist. That and more you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Busy, busy show. Hard to believe it's Friday. Jack, okay, I'm my anger's wearing down a bit. Okay, all good.
I'd still be pissed if I were you, to be
honest.
I'm very
heated. I'm very angry right now. I'm doing very well at holding it back. But thank you so much for hustling and bustling over here and getting us on the air. Much appreciated. Okay, we take you on home with the finale here on WKAR's Current Sports. We've saved the best for last. Jarrett Bell, MSU alum, USA Today NFL columnist. We'll talk some National Football League with the great Jarrett Bell. Jarrett, first off, how you doing, my man? Thank you so much.
Oh, it's good to be back, Al. Back in the old stomping grounds of East Lansing.
Right. How's it feel when you come back here? Where was your freshman dorm at?
Wonders Hall.
Wonders, okay.
But I kind of had the feeling I was coming back for like this big celebration parade and all that stuff.
Oh.
It's like, oh, look, you know, I'm going to be in East Lansing like right after the Final Four weekend. And then,
yeah,
you know, that kind of went the other way.
But, yeah, the Texas Tech game.
Yeah, yeah,
I know.
Exactly. Yeah, but it was a good run nonetheless. Because, okay, so the last time I was here, Al.
Right.
I was here for homecoming weekend. It was the first time I'd ever gone to homecoming
since
graduating.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so me and my buddy Kenny Eaton, who ran track here, we went to school here together, we decided to go over to the Breslin Center to watch the opening night, you know, of Midnight Madness or whatever, that first practice.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're sitting there watching, and we're catching up, letting it all sink in. We don't know who these guys are, whatever, whatever. And we both left the Breslin Center in full agreement. This is going to be a long season for Sparty.
So
you were there. You were like the MC.
MC.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, oh, we're in for a long season, pal.
So you weren't impressed with what you saw in that, like, 10-minute scrimmage, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I tell you what, and this is why I've said, Jarrett, this season for Tom Izzo, I believe the best coaching season throughout his entire tenure since he's been here in East Lansing.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that, too. And during the championship, the Final Four run, East Regional Championship.
Right, exactly.
During the run, during March Madness, he kept reminding me of Bill Belichick.
Really?
Izzo. Yeah, that was kind of what I likened it to, because we've seen this before from him where he has developed teams. And I agree with you. This was the best of all of those examples in the past in terms of building a team from scratch. And then, you know, you have to adjust. You know, you lose Langford and all of a sudden, what are we going to do?
Right.
And so I looked at that and I said, you know, this is reminding me of Bill Belichick, because the Patriots that you see in September and this past September.
Right.
I was in Jacksonville in week two and they got clobbered. And I remember writing the story about the Jaguars and how they had gotten a bit of revenge after losing in the AFC Championship game the year before.
Yeah.
And they'd handed it back to the Patriots, and they made a statement. And I remember saying after that game, doing a video and saying, you know, the biggest statements are made in January and February in the NFL. So it's the same concept that applies to what Izzo's done. But Belichick has done a great job over the years where they get clobbered in September.
Right.
We saw him one year just get it handed to in Kansas City, and they go and they win the Super Bowl that year.
Right.
And then they get a little bit better in October, then they're better in November, December, and then by the time January rolls around, they're ready to be a legitimate contender. And so this year, seeing that with old Sparty and Izzo, I'm like, you know what?
Amazing.
He's got some Belichick in him.
I'm telling you, man, the way he did, because I remember when Josh went down in late December, and then you had the hand injury to Nick Ward. I remember I tweeted out after the Josh Langford injury, when it came to fruition that unfortunately Josh was going to be out for the year, I said, how can this team win the Big Ten regular season championship? How can this team get past the first weekend? I didn't think they'll get past the first weekend, Jared. And to see them in the Final Four was truly special. So to piggyback off the comparison that you made between Tom and Bill Belichick, speaking of the Patriots, I mean, if there was any vulnerable year throughout this dynasty, like you just, when you wrote about the Jacksonville game, I thought it was last season.
Right.
How much longer can the Patriots continue this? Especially, you know, we look at Tom Brady, who did digress when you look at the numbers, but still, they got to the Super Bowl, they won it again. How much longer will we see this kind of dominance?
Yeah, I think you can see them be in position to compete as long as Belichick and Brady are there, okay? And then who knows what will happen in a couple of years if they get a replacement for Brady like they had Garoppolo, like kind of on the landing pad ready to go, but that didn't happen.
Right.
Brady wants to play for another couple, 3 years. So as long as he's able to physically do it, it's possible, because he can run the game from the line of scrimmage, and physically he doesn't have to throw the ball 50, 60, 70 yards, 50 yards down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so if you can mentally play the game and you know that every defense that somebody is throwing at you, you've seen it before,
right. That's
a great advantage. So that's why if you're able, and like Tom Brady's got this ridiculous diet, right? He sent me his book, by the way, Al.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
And his diet's in the book?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's crazy. I'll have to...
Please show me that.
Text you. Yeah, text you.
I need to get on that, all right?
Yeah.
If
like,
I
yeah,
can.
You could be like me. But you can eat nothing. It's like, you know, no sugar, no starch and all of that. But...
Right.
I say that to say, you know, the commitment to, you know, his fitness and his regimen has a
definite
impact.
It's LeBron James-like, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it like LeBron? Because LeBron James, he doesn't drink, you know, he keeps his body in tip-top shape. Floyd Mayweather's the same way. They're really conscious of that. And that's what extends careers.
Yeah, and see, when you're talking about a quarterback, you're not talking about a defensive end, a linebacker, or, you know, a receiver. You're talking about the least athletic position, really, in the NFL, even though you can be athletic and succeed at it. So you mm-hmm. can do it both ways. You could be Peyton Manning without a lot of athleticism, but as long as you've got decent feet and you can see things. So mentally, that's where you win at quarterback. So that's why I say Brady. And then Belichick does such a great job of adapting. I think he's the most resourceful coach in the NFL. And by that, it's like whatever you've got, I'm going to have to fix it from week to week, not to mention month to month and season to season, from week to week. So now they don't have Gronk anymore, right?
Right.
So what are they going to do? I mean, he'll figure something out. They'll end up, you know, developing some other kind of receiver. Maybe they'll get another tight end. But, you know, we've seen them win so many different ways on offense and defense. So that's what's going to keep them in the mix. And you don't always have to go into the season saying they're going to be a Super Bowl lock or not, okay? As long as you get to January and you're in that space, then
just
you
make
got
the
a
dance.
Shot. Right.
Just make the dance.
Because look at hey, Kansas City all season.
Right.
Did it look like Kansas City was going to be there? And even when they get the championship game at home against the Patriots, that's the time. Like you said, they're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. All it takes is one game plan. And then with Brady, he had a great game against Kansas City, but the Super Bowl was not his best effort. But when it came time to make like one play.
Right. One play.
That's all. Just one play. Yeah.
You see what happened.
Yeah.
I have to ask you this, Jarrett. For the Detroit Lions fans out there listening, is there anything you can say to give Lions fans out there some hope that they'll make the playoffs? And maybe, just maybe, if they get into the playoffs, they can make some kind of run. What do you think about the Detroit Lions right now?
Okay, so here's some hope for you. Okay, who won the division last year? The Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Okay. They lost Vic Fangio. He's gone to Denver now. You know, Matt Nagy is the guy who's got all the coach of the year considerations and the young hotshot and stuff. But when you look at what the Bears did last year, it was their defense that won for them.
Right.
And now they've lost their defensive mastermind in Vic Fangio, who has bucked the trend because everybody's hiring these these young whiz kid, next Sean McVay.
The next Sean McVay, right? Yeah.
So Vic Fangio gets a job in Denver, well-respected. A lot of veteran coaches around the NFL feel good for him because he got a shot.
Right.
And he's been a very good defensive coach. I want to see how the Bears react to that. I mean, they've got Khalil Mack, true, but and they've got a great secondary, and they've got the talent, but you still have to have someone putting it together.
Okay.
So that's one piece of hope for the Lions. The other piece of hope is, I guess, what, Matt Patricia's been there and done that. They've practiced outdoors now. And
Right. He's got a year under his belt now. Yeah, he's got some experience.
Yeah, but
real title contenders?
I don't think so. You know, there's always a surprise or two in the NFL. And I think, you know, one of the surprises last year was that the Vikings weren't as good as we thought they could be. They thought Kirk Cousins was going to be the difference. So that didn't happen. And that might work against the Lions this year because maybe the Vikings will put it together. So, I don't know if I'm going to be back here to cover any Lions games this year.
Unfortunately, I don't think so either, Jarrett. I want to ask you this now, because this is as we come up with just 4 minutes left here, I'll take you home with this. We had a big debate here on the show about the pass interference rule in the NFL, right? I want to get your thoughts on it. Is this good for football, or is this just a product of the NFL, quote unquote, overreacting to what happened in the championship game last season?
No, they had to react and had to do something because, Al, if you could watch the game from your den and you see something so blatant and so obvious as to what happened in that NFC championship game and the NFL doesn't have the mechanism to fix that, then that's a problem. And so I think the NFL got it right, but it kind of surprised me how it happened. And I was at the meetings and I've talked to people, you know, all off season since I was at that championship game. So from that point on,
when you saw it firsthand right there in real time, you were there. Yeah. Did you know, okay, where's the flag?
Yeah, exactly. I'm
right
looking for the flag. You look for the flag.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we've got the monitors in the press box. It's like, oh, my goodness, where was the flag? Where was, like, the six flags? You know, sometimes you see the officials throw a flag, and then it's like a flag.
Yeah, it's like a flag.
Four or five.
A lot of laundry
throwing
out there.
Yeah. And that didn't happen. So that was crazy. But I thought that the measure that was going to get some steam was that whole sky judge thing,
right,
where they have the official in the box. But I think in the end, the people who were, where that got resistance was from the people in New York, mm-hmm, who run the centralized replay. Because if you have a sky judge in the press box in the Superdome or Ford Field or wherever, why do you need to have a centralized system in New York? So I think there was some, you know, some turf protection going on there, but it turned out to be the right thing because now, okay, we can challenge this non-call on pass interference, but the coaches have to use a challenge flag, so they better save one. So,
right.
I think that was the right way to address this. Now, the problem, and I know why you asked the question, I know we got to go, people are going to wonder, is this the first step to something else? And the next thing will be the roughing the passer.
Yeah.
That will be the next thing next offseason, or did the guy get ejected for spearing?
Right. Is there a ripple effect?
Yeah.
Right?
So that would be the thing to look at during the offseason, because if we didn't have that play in New Orleans, we may have had replay for roughing the passer, because think of all the conversation about that early last season.
Jared Bell, he's the best in the business. Jared, thank you so much for coming and spending some time with us here on WKAR's Current Sports. And enjoy your time in town. It's not like every day you get to come back to East Lansing here at Michigan State, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Thanks for having me, man.
You got it, man. The one, the only Jared Bell, USA Today NFL columnist. Wow, what a show. Much love to Johnny Lewis for coming on, Jeremy Sampson, of course, Jared Bell. Jack, thank you for running over here and getting the show on the air. And also, we have Catherine Curran, Sports PA, holding it down behind the glass as well. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll be at the spring game tomorrow, as well as Lansing Ignite's home opener tomorrow night. Going to be a busy Saturday for me, all right? Keep it locked to Facebook.com/WKAR News for our coverage of those events throughout the weekend. Until Monday, people, be easy.